First John chapter 1, begin reading at verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We just thank you for your word. We just thank you for having guided us through another year with all its challenges. And we just thank you that you will be with us in the year to come. And we just pray you'd help us, Lord, as we look towards entering in a new year, a new decade, that you would help us to have the right perspective. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So in a few short days, we're going to be entering not only a new year, but a new decade. And of course, we cannot predict all that's going to happen in this new year, but based on previous experience and upon the truths of Scripture, I think we can make some educated guesses as to what's going to be coming. From Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we recognize that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So we know that in 2020, there's going to be some that will be born, there's going to be some that will die. There's going to be times of mourning, as well as times of laughter. Being an agricultural area, we know that there's going to come a time for seeding, and there is going to come a time for harvesting what was planted. And we know this to be true not simply in terms of agriculture, but in terms of the choices that we make in life, that there's decisions we'll make, and there's going to be a reaping of the results of those decisions. In addition, we know that this year that is coming up is going to bring with it highs and lows, successes and failures, joys and heartaches, pleasure and pain. And from the Scriptures, we also can be quite certain that there are going to be trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations this next year. That we do have an adversary, the devil, and we know that if we're trying to do right, that we will come under his attacks. We know that there's going to be times when things aren't going to turn out the way that we hoped they would. And we're going to have to figure out how to deal with those disappointments in the right way. There are going to be times when people fail us or we fail others. There are going to be some sunny days, but there are also going to be some rainy days and some cold days and some storms that we're going to have to endure in this coming year. There may be days where we will feel overwhelmed by our circumstances, and there's going to probably be some challenges that are going to come up this year that are going to be real head-scratchers for us as to what to do in response. And so we don't know all that we're going to be facing this coming year, but what is most important is that we as God's people, that we face whatever will come together. The devil, like any predator, desires for us to become isolated and alone so that we will be easier prey. He wants to either discourage and deceive us into thinking that we're all alone and that nobody cares about us, or he wants us to get so puffed up and prideful that we have convinced ourselves that we're strong enough and wise enough on our own that we don't need anyone's help. But while the devil's desire is to isolate us, we know that God's desire is that we would become all the more connected with himself, most of all, but also with others that can encourage and help us. That we understand that he is not designed for us to be lone wolves and to be all alone, that he wants us to be connected one with another. We think that from birth that he puts us in families in which we have parents that can guide us, we have siblings that can encourage us and watch out for us. We recognize too, as we trust Christ as Savior, that God puts us in his family, where God himself is our Father, where Christ is our brother. And we have many other spiritual brothers and sisters that can help us, that can encourage us. And really, the blessing is that we actually have a family bond with other believers all over the world. I remember just the blessing that it was when we took our trip down to Georgia to visit family year before this one, that some of these different churches we'd step in, they didn't know us from Adam, but yet we felt instantly like we were amongst family. And it's a blessing that we have, that God has given us that as being part of his family. As well as a believer, we recognize that God has established the institution of the church, which God designed to be our support group as believers, a group in which we can help each other, that where we can grow and reach our full potential as a Christian. And from the scriptures, we understand that God's plan is for each of us to be a part of a local body of believers, that we see that he actually puts us in the body and he gives us different giftings to be used within that local church, and it's for mutual support and encouragement. And so we want to value that and realize that it's God's plan for us to have that connection one with another. But as well, we also realize that we are part of a community, and we're part of a nation, and there is a commonality that we share with other people. And God's plan for us is not to shut ourselves off from the world around us, to just kind of build a monastery far away from everyone else and just try to keep the world out. We understand instead that he wants us as believers to reach out and make connections. That he has shown his love to us. He wants us to show and share his love to others. And it's so that they too could become part of God's family. And so as family members and as believers and as church members and even as members of this community and as citizens of this nation, we are all going to share some common experiences this coming year. Some are good, some will not be so good. There are going to be some challenges that are going to try us, and in those challenges we will have a choice. Are these challenges going to tear us apart, or are they going to bring us closer together? And we understand the devil wants to always use trials and troubles and tragedy to tear us apart, to draw us away from God and from each other. And so often that's what happens, that a tragedy can be added to tragedy when it is things like that happen and these relationships are severed and relationships that could be mutually supportive are broken as a result. But we see that. That's the devil's plan. He wants to divide and conquer. But we want to understand God's plan in allowing those trials, that he actually wants to use those trials and those troubles and those tragedies in life to draw us closer to himself most of all, but also to each other. We're reminded of Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That we recognize the truth of these statements, that when we're working together, especially with something difficult, it's always better when we have someone to work with us. I remember working at the smelter and trail, and some of the places they sent us in the smelter weren't exactly the most pleasant to be in, but having a crew to work with and sometimes finding things to laugh at, it just made getting through the day that much better. But as well, what we see there in verse 10, it says, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow." And that's the truth that we know, that we all have times when we falter and we fail. And woe to us when we're alone when we fall. Right? It is so much better if we have people in our lives, and especially God himself, to lift us back up again. So we can get back on track that much sooner. That I think some of us have experienced that, where we've fallen, we're struggling with something, and maybe we haven't reached out to others, or maybe we just don't have those people in our lives that we needed at the time, and we are in a dark place for quite a while, a place of failure and frustration. And God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants to bring us out of that, and there's a lot of times people he wants to use to do that. And it's a thing that we can try to be the lone wolf, we can try to be the solitary soldier fighting alone, but we see what it says there, verse 12, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. That's a thought that victory is much more sure if we have backup, if we have reinforcements, if we have brothers and sisters in arms that will stand with us and fight on our behalf. And we see that phrase there where it ends, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That God's desire for us is to have that threefold cord, with him being the third cord. And so we want to understand that and see the value of being together with others rather than being alone. Division can be a horrible thing. We think of the problems that the nation of Israel had, that they were once a kingdom that was united under David and Solomon, but due to many different things, their kingdom was torn asunder. And many times we find, as we read through the Old Testament, God's people were fighting each other. We think as well in the New Testament of the problems that the church of Corinth had due to great divisions, with fellow Christians fighting and squabbling, where they're taking each other to court, and a lot of times much of what they were fighting over really didn't matter. And in both instances we see that it's division amongst God's people greatly hinders them from being the testimony to the world around them that they need to be. But sadly, as we study through history, division has arisen in both nations and churches throughout history to the detriment of the cause of Christ. And sadly, we do recognize that there, through history, there are various individuals that the devil often uses to sow cord, or to sow discord, rather, to devastating effect. Sometimes it may be where they're conscious and deliberately doing it. Sometimes they may not even be realizing it. But we think of that in families, in local bodies of believers, in communities and in nations, a lot of discord can be sown, and what it reaps is very destructive. And whether it's through gossip, through contention, through miscommunication, there can be a lot of things that can happen, things that people can say and do, that can tear people apart. But in contrast, unity can be a beautiful thing. The psalmist declares in Psalm 133 and verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I think that's something that we can understand, that whether it's in a family setting, say if you have, we've all kind of gathered together as families a lot of times this Christmas, and it's so much better when you can get together and enjoy one of those company than when you're squabbling and bickering over different things, right? That it's a good thing and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. We can think of that in a church when there's unity. We can think of it in a community or in a nation where people are unified, that is a good thing. And that's why we see in Ephesians chapter 4 that God calls us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That as brothers and sisters in Christ, that there's always things that we do that rub each other the wrong way. And so that endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, that's not always an easy endeavor, but it is definitely a most worthy endeavor. And we recognize that whether it's as a family, whether it's as a church, whether it's as a community or as a nation, we could do much more together than we could ever do by ourselves. And so unity is something that should be valued and cherished and cultivated. But yet we do realize that unity for unity's sake alone is not always a good thing either. Because there are times, we understand, where we have to make a choice. We recognize what it says in the Bible, that there is time where friendship with the world is enmity with God. And there are times where the devil wants us to be so focused on the pursuit of unity that we can actually compromise what's truly important. He can seek to convince us with certain things that we should just go along to get along, that we shouldn't make ways, we shouldn't rock the boat. But we have to realize there are battles that we are going to have to fight. And in this year to come, we want to make sure that we're on the right side of those battles. And so, for today, for consideration, I want us to recognize that what we desire, what we seek for in this coming year is not simply unity, but fellowship. Fellowship. And we would ask, well, what is fellowship? How would we define that? And fellowship means companionship or partnership, mutual association, joint interest. One has explained fellowship in this sense, of where you have a group of people that are in the same boat rowing in the same direction. And that makes sense to us, because we realize that you could have a bunch of people in a boat all together, but if they're rowing in different directions, that boat isn't going to go anywhere. And people within that boat will soon get so frustrated that there's going to probably be a few people that are being thrown out of the boat. And so we realize, though, is when you have people in a boat rowing at the same time, I think many of us have seen pictures of some of those dragon boat races that they have, where you have all these rowers and there's usually someone at the front that's drumming on a drum or calling out time, and they're rowing in the same direction. They're rowing at the same time, so each push, it isn't where they're fighting each other, but instead their efforts are complementing each other. That just to see how much faster that boat can go when they're all working together, all rowing together. And so that's what we want to understand when it comes to fellowship, is that we want to have that where we are all going in the same direction, we're working together for a common cause, and we're making great progress as a result. We see what it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, that he asks a question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we realize that just doesn't work, that if people are fighting, that there's going to be a parting at some point. That true companionship is not possible. And we know as well from 2 Corinthians 6 that righteousness cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness. Light cannot have communion with darkness. And so as believers, we need to identify righteousness, unrighteousness, light, darkness. We want to, as believers, be united behind a common goal, a common purpose, and more than anything, behind a common person. Because that is what God is calling us as His people into. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, rather. In chapter 1, verse 9, he says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That we want to understand that we are called to fellowship, and it is the fellowship of His Son. That He wants us to join together with Him, join together under Him. We understand that with the Lord Jesus, He doesn't just call us servants, He calls us friends. We are fellow laborers with Him, and that we can have a fellowship with Him through each day that can sustain us. And as a result of our fellowship with Him, we're enabled to have greater fellowship one with another. We see in the next verse there in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, he says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That was the goal that we want to have as God's people. And of course, much of why he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, as you see in the verses to follow, is because they didn't have that. That there was divisions and contentions and strife, and it was affecting them negatively in so many different ways. We see as well in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so he's encouraging him to be like-minded, and of course, our challenge with that is we want to be like-minded, but we want everyone to be like-minded to us. And we can have that argument. It's like, well, you need to come around to my way. And the other person says, well, no, you need to come to my way, and my way of thinking. But we see the solution is in verse 5, where he says, Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And that's the thing, is that he wants us to, if we're going to have the same mind, we're to have the mind of Christ together. That we're to draw our minds to His way of thinking, where we're not promoting ourselves, we're willing to be servants to others, humble ourselves, so that we may be exalted in due time. And so we realize that is what He is calling us to. And so that brings us to the passage that we began with this morning in 1 John chapter 1. That John, at this stage, was actually the only one of the 12 apostles of Christ still alive. But he's declaring to them this one that they saw. Of course, in his gospel, he wrote much where he said, These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you have life in his name. But we see that he's declaring unto them this one they saw, that he was the word of life, and he is eternal life, and was manifested unto us. But we see his purpose for that, in sharing the truth of the Lord Jesus. We see in verse 3, That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's his desire, and really we understand that's God's desire as well, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who is the Word of life, who is the Savior of the world, that all those truths we want to understand and believe by faith, and it's so that we could have fellowship with God's people. We could have fellowship with God himself. And we see as well that he says, not only these things have we written and heard and declared that you might have fellowship, but he also says, verse 4, these things write we unto you that our joy may be full. And that is the thought, that is when the two are linked, that when we have fellowship with God, true fellowship with one another, then we have fullness of joy, that we enjoy that companionship and comfort and encouragement that we can give one to another and that we can receive from God. And we see as well, he says, speaking of God being light and in him is no darkness at all, and it's a thought that, of course, all of us can get to a point where we walk in the flesh and we don't respond in the way that we should. But what God calls us to do is come to him, confess that, forsake that, make that right, and walk in his light so that we can have fellowship one with another. And as we do so, the Lord gives us cleansing from our sin. And so we want to understand that is how we are to live, that he came to give us light so that we could step out of the darkness of this world and out of the darknesses of sin and selfishness and hate into the light of his life and his love. He came as well to guide our feet into the way of peace, where we could have peace not only with God, but peace with one another. That we could learn how to do that. That even in a conversation where we might disagree, that we're not reacting in anger, but instead that we can have a calmness, a long-suffering, a gentleness, an ability to come together, even in a moment of conflict, our relationship can actually be strengthened by going through that time of conflict where we come to an agreement and we're able to have that unity and fellowship once again. That's sometimes the sad thing is that we have moments in our relationships where conflict is arising for one reason or another, and we can be so afraid of conflict that we avoid completely, and even sometimes sever the relationship rather than have that conflict, where actually we want to understand God's plan is to help us navigate through that conflict so that we can actually be, our relationship can be made stronger. And instead of avoiding conflict, sometimes it's just wise to say, well, just let's get it over with, because it has to come at some point, and if we approach it with the right attitude, it can actually become a positive thing and not a negative thing. And so the Lord wants to guide our feet into the way of peace. He wants to teach us how to love one another, how to be patient with one another, how to be able to be long-suffering and forgiving with the failings and mistakes of others, knowing how much, how forgiving and patient God is with our mistakes and our failings. And so really we understand that peace and unity and fellowship come as we rally around the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we seek him so that we can learn of him and be transformed into his image. That it's a thought that we might be at odds with one another, but if each of us are drawing ourselves closer to the Lord, we are naturally going to be drawing ourselves closer to one another. And so we want to understand that God is calling us into his fellowship, fellowship of his Son, and we need to answer that call. He doesn't want us to be on the outside looking in. He doesn't want us fighting and struggling all by ourselves. We don't need to. He wants to help us, and he has people he wants to be a part of our life to help us all the more. And so as this year draws to a close and a new year and a new decade dawns, we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let us recognize his design to try to divide us, that he wants us to try to face these challenges that this year will bring on our own, and most likely be overwhelmed by them. Let us instead recognize that there is safety in numbers, that there is times where we're going to need the support and help of others. And as well, there's going to be times where others are going to need our help and support as well. And also may we recognize that God is always with us, that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He as believers, He is within us to guide us, to strengthen us, that we are not alone, and we're never alone. And may we recognize that He is with us, recognize His presence, and let us walk in fellowship with Him. We know that if anyone in the relationship between us and God is going to take the lead, it needs to be Him. A lot of times we want to go our own way and we're trying to convince God to tag along and kind of keep us out of trouble. But more often we need to realize, okay, Lord, You need to take the lead and I need to follow You. And where You go, I know will be the right place, that Your choices are always the best. And so let us learn to walk in fellowship with Him, with one another. Let us be united under the Lord's leadership, under His cause. And together let us face this coming year so that we may endure and so that Christ's kingdom may be advanced. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for the fellowship that You are calling us into. Lord, we just pray You would help us to be wise and not to think we have to struggle along alone. Lord, just help us with our pride, Lord, that we'd be willing to admit to others when we need help and need encouragement. And Lord, we just pray as this year comes that You would guide us. And whatever it may bring, we thank You that You will be with us every step of the way. And just pray You would help us and pray that we would be a help to one another. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.